Good morning.
What are you doing?
I thought you were going to open.
Oh, yeah, I always open.
Welcome to the worldwide broadcast, my friends. The Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Don't mind me. I'm over here just last minute Monday in it, getting a shake together with some peptides and some fit food. If you guys saw this, I was pulling it up here. Product of the week, one, EyeSight. Really, really good.
That's a great support. Product.
Vision support, macular health support. On sale right now for over 15% off.
So I take this one on an ongoing basis.
Yeah. That's a really good product.
Especially if you're using a lot of computer time, a lot of screen
time.
The
blue lights will really start wearing your eyes out. Eye fatigue's an issue. Blue light blocker glasses are great. I use those sometimes, but the EyeSight actually, you know, feeds your eyes the nutrients it really needs. So be sure to check that out on sale. And also, too, there's another kit we had together that I pulled up earlier while I was playing around. Where was it at? Ultimate Multiple Powder. We're finally loaded back up on that now.
Finally
got it loaded back up in inventory. You know, we were short a batch for a while. We got it in. So the three packs back up on the website. Huge discount when you buy three cans on that formula. And everybody knows that is one of the most popular products we have. That's what it does and how effective it is and how you can feel it almost instantaneously when you take it.
That's probably one of the best products that we carry.
I agree with you. Because that probably magnesium brain food.
That magnesium brain food and GHI cleanse and the purple sticks. That's a stack now.
Purple sticks.
I'm having my fifth food protein in my purple stick this morning.
Well, the raw nutrients are so crucial. And over the weekend, I took the kids to a little resort water park with a bunch of friends of mine. And I was talking to one of my buddies, who I know pretty well now. They're having a real issue with his son now in fourth grade. And he's already gotten in trouble a ton the first week. He's getting written up. And he doesn't like to sit down. He likes to run around. And now you give him a box of Legos, like a 5,000 piece Lego, put the whole thing together and barely has to look at the instructions. You put him in a chair all day and you tell him to shut up and don't ask questions. He can't handle it. And so I told the dad, I said, you know, you maybe look at doing something like homeschool co-op and also looking at the diet. You know, I said, this whole concept we have in the public school system where one size fits all for all boys and all girls in one classroom and they have to learn the exact same way. I said, it doesn't work out all the time. A lot of boys like to be hands-on. A lot of them like to be active and doing stuff and putting them in a chair for 6-7 hours a day, saying if you don't follow orders the exact way we tell you to follow orders, you're getting your recess taken and you're going to have to sit after school in a box by yourself. It doesn't work very well.
They beat me.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't do that anymore.
No, they did back then. They took me to the principal's office and they beat me.
Yeah.
They took a big old redwood paddle with holes screwed in it. I still don't know why it had holes screwed in it.
And better airflow, more swing.
It's nonsense. I was like trying to scare the kid with the holes in the paddle. And they beat me.
Yeah.
I mean, they constantly sent me to the office. And then finally, one time, they gave me a D for conduct. After they beat me.
The beatings will continue until the morale improves.
So I came home. I had my report card. I had a D on it. So then I knew the beatings would begin again. You know? So this is great. Gosh. Getting beaten at school. I'll be getting beaten at home. And my mom looked at it. She goes, well, you got it. You got a D. I said, yes, I got a D. And so I prepared for the beating. And she said to me, I got to beat you for this. She didn't say beat. But she said, you're not going to be spanked for this.
Well, sure, it's like, in German.
It's always in German. I learned how to, you know, do Hose Deutsch. You get to speak everything at home in German.
Yeah.
And so it was crazy. And she says, I'm not going to spank you for conduct. She says, do what they tell you to do. Quit running around. I'm like, oh. So I'm not, I thought myself, I'm not getting
a beating. Well, she saved the beating on that one.
She was interesting though. She didn't beat me that much. The only time I ever really got spanked is if I got a D.
In actual grades?
An actual grade, because sometimes I just didn't try.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was in fourth grade and I had Miss Stevens.
Yeah.
And I remember they were doing multiplication tables. And I remember I'm a year younger than everybody else. They stuck me in a year early. And said something about testing my IQ was too high to be in the grade that I was in.
Bumped you up.
So they decided, you should never do that with a boy, by the way, because the physical strength is not there yet.
Yeah.
And I remember I was at multiplication tables. I'd learned up to number 7 or something like that, and I didn't want to learn anymore. I got bored with it because I was only supposed to be in third grade.
7's my cap.
So Mrs. Stevens says to me, she goes, you can't go to recess today until you learn your multiplication tables.
Yeah.
So that she wasn't going to beat me for that, but she's just angry because she saw my test scores.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, great. So I sat down. About 5 minutes later, I walked up. I tossed the thing in front of her. I said, okay, I got this down. And she looked at me. She goes, you didn't learn your multiplication tables in 5 minutes. And I said, okay, go ahead and test me. And so I aced them all. She looked at me. She just started laughing. She said, get outside. See, and sometimes.
Sandbagging,
well,
bro.
Yeah, well, you know, and I always got that. I was always written up, you know, it was, you know, he could do much better than he's doing. And I'm like, whatever.
Whatever.
You know, I That's why. And I'm like, because my sister would literally come home every day through 2-3 o'clock and study for 6 hours.
That's fun.
Well, I was over in the bar.
Yes, playing pool.
I was playing pool, and
I did enjoy playing pool over there.
Oh, it was great.
He used to drag me over there all the time, and I loved it.
Yeah, because we had a German beer tavern right next to the house, like 40 feet away.
That's where I went to play
and,
pool.
And I go over there, I get to talk to people. I don't like sitting around by myself. And it was interesting. I started going to the bar when I was like 7 years old. I'd hide underneath the beer cases in the back behind the curtain and look at everybody and say, huh. And I told you that time that I dug that big pitfall behind the bar to catch a drunk. That was fun.
Yeah, that was liability is what that was.
I saw that on a Tarzan movie. I dug this big hole about 3 feet, 4 feet deep. I had to like climb out of it, you know, because I was still pretty small. And then I put like a little sticks across the top of it. And I covered it in moss. Catch me a drunk.
Looks like I'm going to drive into it.
Oh, God. Well, no, it was right behind the bar. So it was right in the walkway.
Yeah, that's really, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And one of the drunks sees me messing around with it. He goes inside the bar and he tells my mom, your kid's going to kill somebody out there. He's dug a big deep hole.
Especially you have spikes at the bottom.
My mom came out of that bar and then she was yelling at me.
Fill it back in.
Screaming something about liability exposure.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I said, how to catch a drunk, Mom? God, it was funny. Oh, by the way, one of our listeners wrote it to me last night. I got all my emails caught up, and she goes, I saw my collagen peptides. You know what she says? She says, you had me at wrinkles.
It does work for
that. Oh, my gosh. That stuff works great for that.
And cutting out some of the sun.
Well, no, I knew this one girl. I remember she was real pretty, and then she started laying out in the sun all the time. And I hadn't seen her in a long, long time. And she came back, and she's all covered in wrinkles. I mean, she's like in her 40s, and I thought, wow, does she age fast?
Your body needs sunlight. It has to have sunlight.
But yeah.
4, 5, 6 hours a day out. You got to remember, too, Florida sun, we're real close to the equator down here. It gets hot.
Well, yeah, I know. Now, when Sharon went out in the sun, even when she was in high school, you know, back then it was all, let's coat down a baby and lay out in the sun.
Yeah.
She would always cover her face up. That's why she always looked so young. And she never would let the sun hit her face. I mean, when we were walking in the backyard, we have trees everywhere. She'd go from, you know, from shadow to shadow to shadow to try to not get in the sun. It was funny. By the way, more than 24 people have been linked to the Jeffrey Epstein have died now under mysterious circumstances. Started sounding like the Clinton body count.
Makes you wonder why they didn't want us talking about it for that week. All of a sudden, nobody talks about it anymore.
Jeffrey Epstein's mysterious fake death occurred 6 years ago this month, but the National Enquirer, let's make sure that people know where it's the National Enquirer, has discovered 22 people in the sketchy billionaire's orbit have also died under murky circumstances. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't think they all died because they were killed. Some of them were older. Fueling fears of a cover-up by powerful figures seeking to erase potential witnesses. From the predators' alleged victims to house managers, to lawyers, to accountants, to investigative journalists, and to pimps. The list of unexplained fatalities traces a dark money trail leads straight to Epstein's inner circle. There were a lot of people strapped and entangled and through Epstein's web, and many of these people are now gone, dead, private investigator Ed Opperman tells the Inquirer. They're all connected through a money trail.
Yep.
You know, financier Stephen Hoffenberg confessed in his final account before his death to the National Enquirer's Doug Montero that Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, the convicted pedophiles now in prison recruiting madam, were taping honey trap videos, which we know, of sleazy VIPs with underage girls for a cabal of deep state blackmailing power brokers. This puts a lot of high-powered people in very dangerous positions, says the gumshoe and the podcaster who was once approached to dig up dirt on Epstein's victim and Hoffenberg. Hoffenberg, the former Tower's CEO and Epstein's associate, who died in 2022 after being in prison for a Ponzi scheme, cooperated with the FBI and spoke out about his former protege's alleged connections to Israelis, National Intelligence Agency, Mossad.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, Austin?
It's always Mossad.
Just a couple of years ago, nobody would have said that.
Nope.
This National Enquirer said, even the Enquirer would have touched it because it was Israel.
Yeah.
Because nobody dots the number. Nobody follows the dotted lines now. ... Epstein, ... Mossad, ... Mossad, ... Israel, ... Rothschild, Balfour Declaration.
... CIA.
And somebody
they're literally interconnected. They both operate together.
The other day, I sent a copy of the Balfour Declaration to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, he's real pro-Zionist. I like to jank his chain a little bit. He goes, it's all fake. It's all fake. And I'm like, oh, God.
It's all fake?
Well, no. Every time you say something to him about somebody or something that involves Israel, it's fake.
Of course it is.
The Balfour Declaration was fake. World War I, fake. World War II.
Fake. He's still Netanyahu the other day. He goes, I'm suing these media because they said that people in Gaza are starving. Nobody's starving. Nobody's hungry. Nobody's having any problems whatsoever in Gaza. I'm like, dude, okay.
By the way, Putin and Trump met.
I saw that.
Nothing happened. But Putin basically, they had this little backdoor meeting. But now Zelensky is defying Trump. No, he's not. He's doing exactly what he's being told to do. Here's why.
Well, they have to have the narrative going back.
That's right. They've got to keep the energy going.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Because the news cycle's gotten soft.
Yeah.
Well, the American population and the world population has to be entertained. And they have to be basically misled and obfuscated. So Zelensky defies Trump minutes after the U.S. president lays out his terms for peace, setting up yet another showdown at White House today, watched by the European leaders.
There's no showdown.
Like,
there's no showdown.
Gunfight in the OK Corral.
Like we got a John Wayne showdown. There's no showdown with Zelensky. He's a little piss. I mean, he's a little peon. That's all he is. Lockheed Martin and Raytheon haven't deemed it so that the war's over yet.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, we just had a thing that came up. It's talking about how the prices have gone up, you know, in electricity. And the prices are, you know, up 38% now, and vegetable prices are up. And you're kind of like, wait a minute. You know, electricity prices are climbing more than twice as fast as inflation. Let me explain to you why this happens.
Yeah, explain it.
Three.
BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, yeah, there you go.
When you let a group of people who own these major corporations that own the market control
a monopoly.
They have a monopoly on everything. This is why we had these trust busters come out over 100 years ago. And they said, you can't do this. You can't come in and control everything. So when they buy up all the vegetable producers and they buy up all the energy companies.
And all the egg
and all the
farms.
Egg producers, they can do whatever they want to do. Because these people love their free air. I'll say that.
Yeah,
and what happens is because they get air for free, they want everything else maximized to the peak of profit. Now, the FFA is coming in and saying, and the Federal Trade Commission is coming in, and they're saying that the airlines cannot set with AI the prices for airline tickets.
Really?
They're saying that is illegal, and they're going to come in and regulate that now.
Interesting.
Because I think that we've made enough stink about this on this show, and a lot of other shows have been talking about it, that they're now saying you can't do this. Federal Trade Commission is saying you can't just pick on people because of who they are.
Well, because it's open transportation. It's supposed to be fair as far as across the board. You can't say, well, this guy's clicked our link 8 times. We're bumping his price up 50%. These guys, they X'd out of it, so we're going to discount it for them now.
Well, I had a friend of mine the other day. They tried to get a ticket, and they had to change one day, and it doubled in price.
Oh, yeah. Now, sometimes they do, I have seen that happen based on timing. You fly on a Tuesday afternoon compared to a Saturday morning, the prices are going to be different based on availability and based on how full the plane is. But that's not what the AI system was doing with it, though. They were going in and specifically watching and monitoring your cookies and following you around. So every time you went back to the site, they wanted to see as far as how far they could push the price.
Years ago, the big three automakers, Chrysler, General Motors, you know, Ford, they all decided that they didn't want to put seatbelts in cars.
Yeah.
They didn't want to put airbags in cars.
Yep.
And what they did is they analyzed how much it would cost to put in seatbelts.
Yep.
This is back in the 60s. And they said it's going to cost X amount of dollars per car that we put out there, and the lawsuits are cheaper.
Yep.
Are you listening?
That's how they base recalls, too.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if we're going to have $10 million in lawsuits this year, but it's going to cost us $40 million to put the seatbelts in, we'll pay the $10
million
in
lawsuits.
And we'll let those people die.
Yep.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that. They do that. And that's why the government has to come in and has to regulate stuff.
They've
sometimes.
Done it with tire brands. Look at that Firestone fiasco. That was people dying, tires blowing out, people flipping. They knew it was a problem. Yeah. They finally looked at it and said, well, we have to do a recall. Now the lawsuits are going to be more expensive than a recall.
That happened
on
to me
tires.
By the time, one time, one time on a Firestone tire. I was driving to Tallahassee, going to school up there in my Monte Carlo. And I remember I was running like 80 miles an hour on Highway 27 right south of Perry.
Some bad problems.
And my the tire didn't go flat. It exploded.
Yep.
And it was my left rear tires. I'm out in the middle of the highway at 2 o'clock in the morning changing out. So that back then, they actually had jacks that worked.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
You got this little bottle jack.
Little screw jack. You know?
Oh, God.
you got to twist it 500 times to get to go up 2 inches.
Now your shoulders ache after you get done doing it. And I remember I had some flares in the car.
Yeah.
Back then, it was still illegal to have flares, I guess.
You still get them.
This will get them?
I keep some of my gear.
Yeah, now they usually put the triangles out, but the flares are much better.
Oh, flares get your attention.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to watch out. They will start fires. Be careful of those in Florida.
Oh, yeah, especially with if you got
pine needles on the side of the road, which is very common in Florida, be very cautious with flares.
But anyhow, so what happened, we ended up changing out my tire. I thought to myself, this is crazy. I mean, the whole trunk was full of stuff. I had to unload the whole trunk on the interstate. It was fun.
Also, I don't know, this is a side note. This happened last time we were training. I was over at my buddy's Ranger Ranch. And we were running some tracers at night, running nogs. and IR lasers. And all of a sudden, he looks over and goes, Austin, you caught a big old berm on fire. He's like, we got to go out there and put it out. He goes, I knew you were going to do this with tracers. He goes, we always caught everything on fire with tracers when I was in Ranger Battalion. Every time we shot tracers, stuff caught on fire. So we had to go out with a fire extinguisher and put it all out. So be cautious of tracers in Florida, too, because they catch everything on fire.
By the way, New Jersey is doing something that's pretty cool.
What are they doing?
I'm shocked because they're pretty liberal up there.
They are.
Parents are facing a $2,000 fine or 90 days in jail if their children break laws in the U.S. state, from skipping school to muggings. But what they've done, they don't know how to control these kids.
Yeah.
And so it says the law comes after a massive brawl led to multiple teens being arrested. So, yeah, how about that? Our state is holding parents accountable for any laws their children who are under the age of 18 break. Parents will not be held accountable for all of their children's actions. Some parents will face fines or jail time if their children break any laws, ranging from drunkenness to felonies. The Gloucestershire Township in New Jersey has announced that any parent who fails to prevent their child from committing a crime will face up to 90 days in jail and or fines totaling $2,000. The council has identified 28 crimes that could result in parents being jailed or fined. Some of these crimes include felonies, disorderly conduct, associating with thieves, how's that a crime? Unless you do something with them. Gambling and idly roaming the streets, among others. Wow, they've had enough of it.
Idly roaming the streets.
In other words, loitering.
Yeah.
Harsher penalties will be assigned to parents of children who are repeat offenders, out of control. The new consequences come 1 year after a massive brawl erupted at a community drone show in South Jersey. The crowd of the show grew to 500 people, with kids and young adults making up the majority of the viewers. Multiple fights broke out throughout the show, leading to the arrest of 11 people. Of the 11 arrests, 9 involved were teenagers. The ages of the arrested teens were 13 to 17. Now, you know, they were all charged with disorderly conduct and released to their homes. During the fights, 3 police officers were injured, I believe that. The lawlessness of groups of unsupervised juveniles and young people acting with total disregard for others ruined a great family-oriented event. You know, yesterday I was at church with Pastor Sean. I went over there.
Yeah.
I went to the Lutheran church on Saturday night. I went to see Pastor Sean yesterday. I did a great service, and he did it on children and raising them.
Yeah.
Now, Sean has 4 kids, and he said the problem that we have today is that, you know, in the New Testament, it tells you basically that you cannot make a vow to somebody, you know, for the Bible, and then say it's your parents' money, and you're going to do this, so now you don't have to give it this. And it talks about dishonoring your mother and your father.
Okay.
Okay? And he did a whole sermon on that. It was excellent, by the way. And what was interesting, he says nowadays the kids, all they want to do is blame their parents for everything.
That is true.
He says they're 25, 26, 30-year-old complete misfits, have never done anything with their life, but it's their parents' fault. He goes, when we were kids, he goes, we never had that problem. You know, Sean's in his 50s now, about 55, I guess. And he said that when we were kids, we weren't allowed to do that. He says, you have to honor your father and you have to honor your mother, because that is the command with a promise, Austin, that it'll go along with you, go well with you, and you'll live long.
It's a command, though, also, too, if you have biblical parents. If you have a piece of crap parent that's on drugs or beating and doing all kinds of illicit behavior and doing stuff to their kids that's wrong, then I think that's...
He addressed that yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
You know what he said? Doesn't matter.
Well, it does. If your parents are a pedophile, you don't have to respect them.
No. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said that command does not have a caveat to it. And he said the thing about it is, even if you've never met your parent, if you've never met them, in other words, you're an adopted child and you've never met your parent.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
He says you can at least say they did something right, they had me. He says you can always try to find something right about them and not badmouth them publicly to other people.
Yeah, but I disagree with him on that one factor, because there's a lot of parents now that are adopting children that are both flaming homosexuals that are raising up their children in a pedophile home. And He did not address that. I don't think they need to be honored. I think those guys need wood chippers. They don't deserve to have children. That's my biggest stance on that. Everything else he said, I agree with on that. But I do think there's a caveat with that. As far as if the parent is doing something nefarious to the kid, which is happening a lot now that I'm hearing about.
Well, and what we're also having, I spoke to a woman yesterday, and she has a younger sister, and her sister basically has been groomed by one of these weirdos.
That's the caveat. Now, any other aspect, you're absolutely right. You need to be focused on positive aspects that, hey, I'm glad my parents did this right. You're 100% on that.
But again, we have parents out there that really aren't good people. That's a fact.
They're doing bad things.
But I remember, you know, my brother one time badmouthed my dad.
Yeah.
To me. And I told him, I said, what are you doing, dude? I said, you know, you got the, he gave you the farm, basically. You're a millionaire. That's what Dad did. You know, I said, well, are you joking me? I mean, what are you sitting here bad-mouthing?
Well, you got some kids that they, and I've seen this a lot, they can do nothing but try to focus on the negative of anything that's ever happened. They may have had 80%, 90% of their life was pretty good growing up. But there's a few key things that happen, and all they want to do is stare in the rearview mirror and explain to everybody why their life's so bad because this event happened 25 years ago. That's pathetic. At some point in time, you got to grow up.
Well, what I've learned a long time ago, if you're driving down the highway down the interstate at 70 miles an hour doing the exact speed limit, okay, so you don't send any more emails on this, and you're looking in the rearview mirror trying to steer going forward, you're going to kill somebody.
It's going to be very difficult. You can do it for a little bit, but my gosh, it's going to be a mess.
Everything's backwards.
Everything's a mess.
And so the problem is if you're trying to steer your life based upon your past,
yep,
it's going to be a problem. And so you got to walk away from some of this stuff. Yep. I mean, there's some things that happen to all of us when we're kids that we don't like. You know, our parents weren't perfect, but guess what, kid? You're not perfect either.
Yeah.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody comes here with an instruction manual on how to raise kids except for the Bible. That's it. And that's pretty good a manual. But the thing is, train up your children the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart
from
it.
There you go. That's where it falls back into. Train up the way they should go, though.
But it doesn't matter. Sometimes you train them the way they should go, and then
But you do the best you can. I mean, I got three
kids.
That's
all you do.
All you do is the best you can. Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, these kids, these basically, they're being – here's what they're being arrested for. Their parents are being arrested. A felony, violation of penal law, any act or offense for which you could be prosecuted, being a disorderly person, habitual vagrancy, incorrigibility, immorality, knowingly associating with thieves or vicious, immoral people, growing up in idleness and delinquency. This is like gang stuff to me.
Yeah,
a felony, high misdemeanor, violation of any laws, any act of offense for which he could be prosecuted in the method of partaking in the nature of a criminal action, being a disorderly person, habitual, indecent exposure, et cetera.
This is very prevalent over in the UK. I talked to a friend of mine who lived over there before. They have enormous amounts of roving youth gangs over in the UK. These kids are 15, 16, 17.
Are they Muslim? They're not British.
Some are. They have some British gangs over there now, too. And the problem with it is
British gangs are trying to fight the Muslim
exactly.
Gangs.
The British gangs are starting to become more aggressive and hostile because the Muslim gangs are trying to take everything over. So you've got this 2025 version of gangs in New York, essentially, in some of these areas where you get these youth gangs that are these factions that are fighting each other. Everything, as much as I hate to say this, everything at some point in time always comes down to just base violence. It does. Everything comes down to that at some point in time. And ideals are peaceful. History is violent. You got to figure out how much you're going to take. If somebody starts to push you and push you and push you and push you and push you, certainly at a point in time, you're going to push back.
Yeah, even a dog, if you poke him with a stick in the corner, is going to bite you.
And that's the problem we've had now is these massive groups have been brought into Europe. Unwanted by a lot of people in Europe and Germany and Sweden and all these
areas.
That was
Angela Merkel.
Yeah. I mean, there's an article that popped up right here, and it was going into detail on how forced Swedish housing integration for thee, but not for me. Swedish MP behind push for mixing low-income immigration housing with majority Swedish villa developments reside in Denmark. So they're wanting to actually integrate high-density, essentially like Section 8 housing, and integrate it into high-end areas and high-end houses and high-end villas in Sweden now and basically try to integrate the two together. So try to have federally funded Section 8 housing to house immigrants and put it right in the middle of development, right in the middle of like subdivisions and other housing complexes to try to integrate the two together. That's going to be a disaster. That's always been a disaster, especially when you start having groups come in from other countries that don't share the same values, ethics, and morals. There's two diametrically opposing values in some of these groups. And so this is an issue when it starts happening. We've watched the exact same thing in a similar fashion happen down here in Florida with subdivision that was just built. We talked about it years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago, got built right across the street. And there's not a single person I've ever encountered in that subdivision, I've gone there multiple times, that will speak English. They may speak, but they won't speak it to me. I've gone there and tried to talk to a lot of people. And you go in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the entire area where the pool is and the pavilion area, there's 30, 40, 50 people there. And they're all like Latin America, South American, the whole subdivision's like South America. And nobody speaks English. And they're $400,000 or $500,000 houses. There's always like 3 or 4 cars that drive. Nobody ever goes anywhere. I never see anybody leave. Everybody just hangs out there in this giant subdivision, and I can't figure out how or who was paying for it. And then you start realizing, well, BlackRock on the back end was subsidizing a huge portion of a lot of these subdivisions that's been put in. The same thing that's going on in Lake Wales now. that 2,500 housing complex that got approved. Sure enough, the big, big developmental company that bought it, their major number one shareholder is BlackRock. I found out.
It's like we're playing Monopoly and the bankers win.
That's exactly right. They want to own every property and put a hotel on it, charge everybody every time you step foot on it.
It's like my friend, he had a big body shop. You know, he had all the major contractors, State Farm, yeah, for all of them. And I remember he sold it to another company, and within 6 months they sold it to BlackRock.
Flipped it. Yep. That's what they do.
And now it's corporate owned. And so they do that with everything, with all these small businesses, because they're basically running the same model that Amazon run, because they own Amazon too. Just thought I'd mention that.
And what Amazon has done now, and it's been very strategic, I mean, they're a global retail monopoly. They've come in now, and they strategically are putting warehouses in everywhere there's a major, or at least a city airport. This is exactly what they did in Lake Wales. They have a whole section now that's gotten rezoned from agricultural property that's wetland. They're rezoning it for commercial residential. So they're putting an Amazon warehouse right beside the Lake Wales airport, and then they're putting a giant subdivision in right beside that, exactly what the model they did in Auburndale. They have the housing for the Amazon workers right next to the airports, and they can fly everything all over the country and leave at any point in time. That's why I don't support Amazon. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that, but at the end of the day, I'm going to vote with and pushing out every other small business. Now, switching gears, I want to get into this today. This is actually a really good article I'm going to post on the website, and I may actually send it to Harrison, see if we can use some of the graphics. They did a really good time with this with the Epic Times. And I take a lot of times, people don't realize what is on the ingredient list and how to decode it. And this is a box here. I'm going to spend a couple minutes. It says 73% of the U.S. food supply is ultra-processed. Let's decipher what's really in our food and what we can do to make healthier choices. And it goes into detail here. The top eight unrelated buzzwords. Natural. Maybe processed or treated despite anything sounding healthy. You put natural on anything. Doesn't matter. Made with real fruit. It can be have minimal fruit or even just concentrate. Real fruits in it.
That could be 100 to 1%.
Yeah, it's like proprietary list when they have all these ingredients and you don't know what's in it. Another one, whole grain. Use even with small amounts of whole grain, they can put whole grain on there, which doesn't mean anything.
Well, they can put all white flour and put 1% or 0.5% of whole grain.
Yep. Multigrain is even worse. That means there's multiple grains in it. Not any specific healthy one, just multiple different grains. No added sugar, can still be very high in fruit and juice sugars. Low fat often contains added sugar or refined carbs for flavor. Farm fresh. This is a new one.
That's my favorite one.
This one's gotten popped up all over the place now in a lot of restaurants. We have farm fresh eggs and farm fresh this and farm fresh that. It means absolutely nothing. Nothing. There's no basis to it. It has no legal meaning at all. It
evokes a rustic image of a farm.
Yeah, and they always do it. They always have a photo of the farm. There's all this, like, you know, foliage around.
I wonder if Pete and Jerry eggs are like that.
I mean, they don't say farm fresh on them, do they?
But it's Pete and Jerry. They're on a farm.
Yeah.
It's
marketing. It's great.
They're out there working with the chickens.
They have the photo of the family on there harvesting eggs, all happy with the kids. I think they got pretty good eggs. But I don't know. They're expensive.
They are expensive. Really. And then sugar-free. May contain artificial sweeteners.
That's almost always artificial
sweeteners. High in calories.
And here's a box of Fruity Puffs. This is basically their knockoff brand they have on here. And it shows you how a lot of this stuff they have, you know, the listed sugar, salt. Most cases, this stuff is loaded as far as with all types of added salt and sugar that's completely out of control. See, they say how ultra-processed foods are made. Raw inputs. The process starts with cheap commodity crops such as corn, wheat, and sorghum. That's almost always cereal. It's always corn. The grains are stripped down using heat, pressure, chemicals, removing fiber, minerals, and vitamins, cooking and fortifying, then adding salt and additives, synthetic nutrients. Then they shape them. The mixture is extruded, puffed, flaked, fun shapes under high heat and pressure, flavoring coated with sugars, oils, flavoring, colors, preserves, and dyes. Then they package the product, seal it up in a colorful box, and then tell you it's farm fresh Fruity Puffs.
Farm fresh, nothing about the farm.
Yeah,
on
it. Exactly. But there, that here, right here,
monosodium glutamate.
Oh yeah,
that's glutamic. That's bad. That one, that eats holes in your brain.
This
by the way,
a lot of times they put this now under natural flavors. If they use only a small amount of MSG, they can roll it into natural flavors. But a lot of times now, you'll find even ingredient lists are putting down MSG, which means just loaded. These are some of the top preservatives: palm oil, hydrogenated oil, canola oil, BHT, which is a really bad one. Aspartame, 200 times sweeter than sugar. cause of neurological mood disorders. Cancer risk is still debated.
Brain, no, it's not debated.
I don't think that's what I said.
Brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, all from aspartame. The sodium nitrite, my other little favorite over here, when you combine it with aspartame, sodium nitrite cures deli beets, but it's linked to cancer, especially in the gut. And when you combine aspartame and nitrite together, which is product may just do that perfectly, right? You can form what's called the diketiopeperazine, and that degrades for nitrosuria, which is the most effective agent known to man to produce malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals. So if you want to have this particular cereal and drink some diet soda with it, now you got it going. Or if you could, if it contains both these together, it'll do it all by itself. Or you have a ham sandwich and you have a diet soda, you just did it again. Exactly. Okay, if you go have a pepperoni pizza and you have a diet soda, you just did it again. And I had a friend of mine who did that all the time with ham sandwiches and basically diet sodas. And guess what? He came down with brain cancer and died from it.
It's funny. It says strictly limited in the EU. Sodium nitrite is heavily regulated in the EU. Heavily regulated.
It's poisonous.
Yeah. And there's another one on here when I pull it up. Propylene glycol. Give me CAM4. This is a really big one that's in a lot of stuff that you don't realize. This is a base ingredient in most cases of antifreeze.
Yep.
Preserves moisture and prevents freezing and clumping. May harm blood cells in high doses.
That's why they use it in antifreeze when they freeze.
Exactly right. This is in a lot of ice creams, by the way. So stay away from this. This is a really, really bad ingredient that I think is underrated on how bad it actually is for you. And then, of course, the big boy over here, high fructose corn syrup. I think everybody's realizing this one. Cheap corn syrup spikes blood sugar, increases inflammation, builds belly fat. One of the number one contributor to high or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in children now. The number one contributor they're finding on here. These are all major ingredients to look for.
Okay, can you post this?
I'm going to see if I can do something with Harrison. I'll see if he can pull it. I may have to get permission because this is all Epic Times put this together.
Well, it doesn't matter. Just post the article.
As long as I link to them on.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll link so you guys can see this because I get a lot of questions from customers and they're saying, well, how do I know it's bad? How do I know what to stay away from? This is a really, really, this is really well done. They put this together really good.
Now, here's what I look for. Here's what I do. If it has aspartame, doesn't happen. I don't put it in my body.
No.
MSG doesn't happen. Sodium nitrite doesn't happen. BHD, try to stay away from that one. Monodiglycerides, try to stay away from that one.
Natural flavors, that's a weird catch-all one because there's some stuff that they actually have natural relevant flavors, and then there's some they try to hide stuff in it.
Canola oil, don't touch it. Sucralose, don't touch it.
Sodium nitrite, I don't touch it.
Partially hydrogenated oils, I don't touch it. Titanium dioxide, I don't touch it.
Xanthanith gum, I saw that in here. Mm-hmm. I've seen that in a few things before.
Propylene glycol, don't touch it. Red 40, don't touch it. Yellow 5, don't touch it. Go on. High fructose corn syrup. I try to stay away from that. Every once in a while, I'll have something with that in it because if you want to have some, sometimes yogurt has that in it.
Well, sometimes too, they don't put high fructose. Sometimes it's corn syrup, which is still not.
It's still bad because some have glyphosate. But so there's a lot of those in here that are just keywords that you look at.
Yeah.
You know, like hydrogenated oils. That's just a no-no.
I can't tell you how many times it actually happened to me on Saturday. I was stopped at Publix. I was in Orlando and they had these pre-made omelets with whole eggs. They actually made whole with cheese in them. And I was like, wow, these would be really nice. And I looked on the back, like the second ingredient is canola oil.
Well, they cook it in canola.
Flipped it back around, put it back on the shelf. And I was like, I got excited for a minute. I was like, this is really, I was excited. And then I got very disappointed. You flip the box over, you do this enough, you're going to realize that you're going to see these keywords like Dad just said on the ingredient list. When you see them, just put the food back up.
Well, what I did, I remember years ago, I was at a Westin hotel.
Yeah.
And I asked the guy, I said, I do not use canola oil. Can you cook my eggs in real butter?
Yeah.
And he goes, absolutely. Well, it comes out cooked in canola oil. You can always tell because it's kind of slimy. And I said, you use canola oil. He goes, well, yeah. I said, well, I ask you not to. And so he got all mad. The waiter got mad. And I said, well, can you please send these back? Well, then I've learned a long time ago, Austin, I mentioned this before on the show, you get a waiter mad. You get the kitchen staff mad.
Oh, boy.
You don't want to eat the food.
I've worked in restaurants.
No, I used to work at a place called the Burger Queen, and it wasn't a bunch of gays.
What?
It wasn't. No. Nowadays, it'd come across as a bunch of gay. It'd be a gay restaurant. The Burger
Dairy Queen's trans sister.
the Burger Queen. And it had this Imperial Burger. And I remember one time we had some people working there, and they got mad at one of the people trying to order food. They straight threw the patty on the floor and picked it up and cooked it.
Gosh,
I saw them do it.
You better not caught doing that now, though. That's a massive
fine.
Yeah,
it was awful.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I mean, they did other things. It was horrible what they did to the food in the back. So I learned a long time ago. I said, you know what? If I order something, I got to send it back, and I'm in a restaurant like that, just might as well just not even eat
it. Just go back to the room and have GHI cleanse.
Well, no, what happened is I went to the front desk to complain about it, and it was crazy because the waiter comes running out and says, your eggs are done. I'm like, I'll pass on those. And he changed his attitude because I'd gone to the front desk. And then it was crazy. And then finally, the hotel manager said, "Well, you want us to recook the eggs again?" I said, "Well, if you don't poison them, I'm good." And you know, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I said, but, you know, so he said, "I'll have a sense of the room," and he did. But the crazy part about it was, what did I have to go through to get my eggs not cooked?
Yeah, I know. Golly, pulling teeth over here.
I mean, what was that? I mean, it was ridiculous. It really was.
You know, oh, man. You know,
I tried to eat at Beef O'Brady's the other day, which I don't recommend. I'm not endorsing that restaurant at all. And they didn't even have butter or olive oil in the entire restaurant.
No, a lot of the restaurants are getting really sloppy based on cost, because there are some things in the food supply that has gotten more expensive. And so a lot of these restaurants are really trying to shave costs down. But on the other hand, too, I mean, I'm in the manufacturing, you know, community with supplements and all that. I see a lot of the raw costs. I deal with a lot of the raw costs. I've eaten some of the raw costs. But I can tell you right now, a lot of these price increases that they've tried to put on vehicles, food, other things in the market, other than exclusion from tariffs, because I know that's a big jump right now, a lot of people are talking about. A lot of the price increases now in 2025 have been significantly overrated to justify the net profits. You know, the other day,
Publix does that really badly.
And I'm not picking on Publix. I love Publix. I love staff
almost,
there.
Almost $5 billion in profit.
I know a lot of people that work for Publix.
Almost double their profits.
And the issue that Publix is running into now is, because they've been around for like 40 years, it's legacy costs.
That's right.
That's the issue they're running into. They have so many people now that are retiring from Publix because they've been with them for decades.
Well, Publix has been around, I think, for 50 or 60 years.
Is it now?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But the legacy costs are catching up to them.
Yeah, their first store was in Auburndale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they put the hub in Lakeland as far as they distribute everything. And like I said, great people as far as they work with them. They take good care of their staff. But, you know, the other day there's a big video that popped up, and they went to a Walmart, and then they went to Publix across the street. And I'm not comparing the two quality. I mean, the staff, the people, the clientele, the demographics of Publix are significantly better than Walmart, to be honest with you. But almost everything they took videos of.
Half price.
Half price. Publix is $6.99 for this. They were $3.99 for this. They were $2.99 for this. Publix is $7.99, something like two and three times higher. And the problem that I have with that is a lot of these companies are trying to justify the price increases by saying, we have a big price increase here.
Because of tariffs,
this and this. I'm telling you right now, it's not as bad as they're talking about. And they've done this now to try to reach their price ceiling to see what people are going to. Eggs weren't running $12 a dozen. Come on, guys. They weren't running $12 a dozen. And I mean, they went up, but not to that extent.
Well, no, you can still buy them over at Aldi's for
half
that.
That's exactly right. Aldi's like $5-$6 at the peak. Yeah. The peak, when you couldn't even get eggs.
Yeah, and then Aldi's, of course, sold out almost immediately.
They did.
And Costco was pretty good about keeping the prices down. Yeah. I remember I went over and got some, for your kids, matter of fact, I got the thing of those biscuits. I forgot, Annie's or whatever it is, organic biscuits.
Yeah, the organic biscuits are really good.
Oh, they're great biscuits. And they were $9 at Publix.
Like one tube.
Yeah. And they had three tubes or something like that. Three tubes for like $6.
At Costco.
Like $2 a piece instead of $9. It was like $4 or $5.
They're getting from the same distributor from Annie's.
I know.
You know they're getting from the same price point. So Costco's probably, you know, they're doing a three-pack on them. They're probably making $1,
but,
$2.
But you said something about legacy costs. Publix has more millionaires who've worked with them than pretty much any other company, because they give you stock sharing.
That's exactly right.
And so what happens over a period of 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you start building up, and you have all of this retirement they're putting out.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, it's like UPS. Now, all of a sudden, they can't lower the prices as much because they've got too much legacy costs, having to pay all the people who used to work at Publix their monthly dues because they worked there for 30 or 40 years.
Yep.
And so it becomes a problem for every major corporation. In fact, if you remember in the MBA program, they talked about the wheel of retailing.
Yep.
And that wheel of retailing is simply this. When you have a company come in, you know, and they basically provide you all of this low-priced product because they don't have any legacy costs, as time goes on, the products start to get more and more expensive as legacy costs increase, and pretty soon another company comes in and undercuts their prices, and then they go out of business.
That's exactly right.
The problem with big companies like, you know, Publix and with UPS, they're so big and they're so integral as far as the supply chains and distribution, it's very difficult for those companies to be taken out. FedEx tried to go in and really put a bite on, you know, on UPS. They couldn't do it.
And UPS, that's why, you know, I had a really good friend of mine. He was my UPS rep for years. He was with them for 18 years. I mean, he called me one day and he was like, "Hey, I'm letting you know, he got me another contract lined up." He goes, "I'm basically being let go." I said, you got great sales. You got this whole regional area. He's like, "Oh, I've done nothing wrong. They're firing me without cause. They're giving me a gigantic check as far as my severance package." And I'm like, "Why?" Because they're doing it to like four other 100 reps. They're all 17, 18, 19 years. because UPS went and looked at it. This is what it was from the numbers. We could cut them.
We're speculating now.
Now, this is what I've heard of companies doing. I'm not saying UPS did this. This is what I've heard of companies doing. They come in with the bean counters, and they go, we can give each one of these guys a $100,000 severance package, sign off on it, or we can let them work another 5 or 6 years. They hit 25 years, and they retire. They make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 the rest of their life every month or every year.
Well, the truth is,
cheaper.
You know, from a bean counting standpoint, it's terrible.
It's terrible, but that's where the money comes in. Yeah. And I'm not justifying it, or I think it was great, because it messed him up a lot. He had this whole life with that company.
Well, what happens if they don't do that? Okay, then pretty soon they put themselves out of business.
Well, the legacy costs snowball. They don't stop getting bigger.
And what happens is, because so many people have been with UPS for so long now, the younger people or the older people that have already retired 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, a lot of them are going to pass away.
Yeah.
They're going to go to heaven. So those will stop.
Right.
Okay, all that legacy cost will stop. And then they needed the gap. They had to find a way to make it work for everybody. And the upper level management people who are the bean counters are doing the other things with other corporations. I'm not just picking on UPS. They basically decide, well, I've got to make sure I get my, retirement. I can't do that if I give all these other people all these other retirements. So they have to cut them loose. And the problem with that is you see it all the time in municipal governments too, Austin.
Yep.
Like the city of Auburndale and all this. I think you have to work there 8 years and you got money for the rest of your life.
You can retire a small amount of retirement on it. Eight years?
I mean, really? Well, they justify it by saying, well, we don't pay you very much when you're here, but we pay you for the rest of your life. And the county does the same thing.
Yep.
And, and the state workers do the same thing. And so what happens, and then they give you health insurance the rest of the time.
The only ones that I do agree with on it, especially if you have a good rapport, is law enforcement. If you got a good background as far as you haven't been written up and doing a bunch of stupid stuff, that's a very, very, very mentally and physically invasive job.
And it's dangerous.
And it's unbelievably dangerous. And I don't think a lot of these guys get paid enough, the ones that are good law enforcement. And so when they do retire, that's kind of like you put in your dues for 25 years. And you had to deal with getting shot at and all tweakers and people, needles and all kinds of just nasty segments of society. And that's kind of like your back end on it. You get to retire and be like, okay, I don't have to deal with this anymore. So, but again, you still run the same problem, though. The county costs keep going up and up and up and up and up.
Oh, cops hunt multiple gunmen in New York City, which is very restrictive with guns, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And mass shooting, they left 3 dead and 9 wounded. The people were killed and 3 people were killed and 9 others were wounded. Went up to 4 gunmen, opened fire in a possible gang-related shooting at a Brooklyn hookah lounge around closing time early Sunday, authorities said. It was the second mass shooting in the city in weeks, occurring after a nut stormed a swanky midtown skyscraper last month and shot dead 4 innocent people before turning the gun on himself. That was something different.
That's something with Blackstone.
Somebody got targeted. My opinion. Mm-hmm. I could easily stand here and tell you that we have driven down crime, that we have removed over 2,000 illegal guns off the street. And grim-faced Mayor Eric Adams told reporters after a briefing on Sunday and mentioning the other rap mass shooting. I give you those numbers and those stats, but it does not comfort those who are victims of gun violence. Now, what this is, they're pushing for more and more gun control in New York City.
That's exactly right.
And what they're going to want to do long-term-wise, and if they can get away with it, they're going to want people to voluntarily turn their guns in again, them destroyed.
Even the ones that are already registered.
Or they're going to increase the fines and increase the amount of penalties and increase the jail time if you get caught with a gun, as a law-abiding citizen, I may say. Yeah. And eventually what they would like to do in New York, but they can't do it because of the pesky thing called the Constitution, as far as illegal search and seizure, is going to people's homes and actually raid people's houses and take their weapons away. That's the problem, though. But I remember that football player came years. You remember
he came in
on a private jet. He was carrying a gun. So he took it to the police station and said, "Look, you got to keep this from me. I can't have it here."
Immediately arrested. For a ball game.
Yep. Immediately arrested. Again, you go, "You got a gun. You're arrested. I'm trying to give it to you." Doesn't matter. You had it first. And it's just stupid stuff like that. And then you have, if you don't remember, there was a guy one time who was the subway vigilante. I think his name was Bernard Getz.
I remember that.
And he had a gun on him in the subway. And then both people have been getting attacked and killed and everything else in the subway. And he straight pulled a gun out and shot 3 or 4 people. Remember that? And then they tried him, for murder after he was attacked by a gang.
They based that one movie off a similar thing with Death Wish.
Yeah.
At a certain point in time, you push aside enough. You tell all the law-abiding citizens you're not allowed to defend yourself. You're not allowed to carry a firearm. You can't do anything. You have to sit there and be a victim. Eventually, some people have enough and don't want to be a victim. That's an interesting story, too. This is coming down to what I talked about earlier with the increased cost. It said new vehicle affordability improves for second straight month. Higher incentives, bigger rebates, lower prices are improving the situation in the vehicle sector. This goes back into what I told you guys about that happened during COVID. as a lot of the manufacturers and dealerships became so insanely greedy on how they're ripping off so many people and charging them $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 addendums on Honda Civics. Now those same dealerships are struggling to breathe, and these manufacturers that kept raising the prices 10, 15% each year on MSRP, they're now starting to put big rebates on everything now. They said new
about time.
Yeah, they said new vehicle affordability approved for the second consecutive month in July. They said essentially the peak of it for the average monthly payment was $795.
Crazy.
They said now the typical average payment $745 or $748, and it's continuing to drop now as a lot of the cars are getting rebates on them and discounts, and dealers are actually starting to take this massive padding off now and saying, okay, we got to move inventory.
Well, what happened during COVID, a lot of the people in these dealerships and individuals were buying brand new cars and flipping them.
Oh, yeah.
And they were adding 20, 30. Look at the Porsche.
Yeah.
You know, you get a GT3 RS that sells is ridiculously expensive. It's a nice car, and it sells for, you know, $200,000. People were putting $100,000
premiums on them. Yeah.
So what does Porsche do? They just raise the price.
They just raise the MSRP up.
You know?
Because they're like, well, the market's going to bear it.
Yeah, so we're just going to do it. So, and, but the problem is when you have Honda Civics, and there's no limited production.
No. It's not a 1 of 500.
No. And so what ends up happening is these people now who have these cars that pay $20,000 addendums, they can't get financed anymore because they're upside down. So they're going to be paying these payments way down, way down, way down. I had a friend of mine. She had bought one of those during the COVID. She paid $85,000 or $80,000 for this used Lincoln, and it was worth about $40,000. Well, she finally got it. She worked like three jobs and finally got it paid off.
Down.
And then when that hurricane hit last year, it got flooded out and destroyed.
Well, she got insurance on it.
Well, she had insurance on it. She finally had equity in it. She finally got to that point.
All that gets flooded. Jeez, that's horrible.
Oh, by the way, yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine who's having seizures.
Seizures.
Yeah. And then she said that she's getting those halo seizures where she passes out for like 60 seconds and basically can't drive. And she actually lost her license for like 90 days because they were having to put on epileptic medicine before they give her license back. And I started doing some research on that because she loves cats.
Yeah. We're not going to go there.
Now,
I saved two cats. Actually, Rich saved the third one. We saved those cats that were in the wall. So don't come at me and say I don't do anything for cats.
Okay, but here's the problem. So she's having seizures. And I said, you know, toxoplasmosis.
You should do parasite cleanse.
Is a cap, you know, ivermectin. And so there's some other things for that, too.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm pretty sure it's linked to seizures, toxoplasmosis, a brain parasite. And sure enough, I looked it up, and it's linked to seizures.
Which is a very real thing, by the way. A lot of people try to downplay toxoplasmosis. It's very real.
No, it's very real. And, you know, the crazy part about it is I said, well, where's the cat right now? It's laying on the bed with me.
There you go.
And I said, you know that it passes toxoplasmosis through its feces.
Yep.
She goes, well, I didn't know that. I said, yeah. I said, you know that it uses the bathroom in the litter box, and you know it licks its own rectum with its tongue.
Yeah.
And she goes, that's disgusting. I said, yeah, it's animals. Dogs are the same thing.
They're animals, bro.
Yeah. And so now you have a high probability you've got toxoplasmae on the tongue of the cat, and the cat now is going to be laying on your bed and on your pillow, and you're basically got your face buried in it, and it could get transferred to you now, and you could have toxoplasmae, which could have caused your seizure. You know, and she said, well, I didn't thought about that because I started having these problems after I got the cat. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. Now, I'm not picking on you if you got a cat. I got that. Keep the cat outside. Keep it off your bedding. Wash your hands when you handle the cat. You know, be careful if you're pregnant and you've got a cat and you're messing with the litter box. Really, really important, guys. And so anytime you have animals in the house with you, you're going to massively increase your risk of parasitic exposure. It's just what happens, especially if the animals get on the bed with you. Well, you don't understand. My dog gets on the bed with me every night. Okay, great. I'm happy for you and the dog. No problem, whatever you want to do. But just make sure you keep the sheets clean and make sure that, you know, you keep that dog dewormed and keep that cat dewormed.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very important that you understand that. By the way, an illegal truck driver has killed three people after making an illegal U-turn on a Florida highway.
I saw that.
Yeah. The Punjabi driver who obtained his truck driving license, CDL, in the Democratic-run sanctuary state of California made an insane U-turn on the Florida Turnpike near Fort Pierce on Thursday.
U-turn.
And caused a major deadly crash. The driver, identified as Haringa Singhagi or whatever, was arrested and charged with three counts of vehicular homicide. At the conclusion of his state charges, he will be deported. Wait a minute. Why did he stand for trial for murder for what he did? I mean, that's crazy. The horrifying video shows Singhagi completely unbothered and unfazed after a minivan collided with his truck as he made an illegal U-turn.
No, dude, this, you know, on the turnpikes, they have these little sections where it says official use only, U-turn only. and FHPs them to basically turn around.
Come pick a
He did a doggone U-turn on the turnpike where everybody drives 70 to 80 miles an hour.
Truck.
There's a photo right here. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Look at this idiot. I mean, you can't even. I mean, wrecked everybody. Let's see if I can get the video to play. I saw this. I'm like, I don't. And you can't. There's no way to do a U-turn in that section. No, Fox News failed me again.
Well, come up here. We show the picture of this minivan's underneath the truck, right here. Look at this. Boom. Now, mind you, and I'm not picking on the minivan driver because they're dead. All right, but here's the thing: when you're driving on the highway, you've got to make sure you're aware of what's going on around you. And if you got some idiot in front of you, you better be aware of that.
Look at this. He's taking over almost both lanes, both sides of the road.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
He literally did he went full right and did a full U-turn across all the traffic and almost got stuck. And all his cars are running into him. I mean,
well, when you're running 80, 90, 100 miles an hour on the turnpike, it's hard to stop.
It's hard to stop, especially depending on how fast this guy whipped his U-turn. If you're in the left lane, you're doing 80 miles an hour. Also, you see a semi-truck doing a thing. You're like, what is this guy doing? Also, he just jets out in front of you.
You know, last year, or beginning of this year, I was going to Bach Tower. I had your kids in the back seat.
Yeah.
Okay? And I remember there's a car coming towards me, okay? And he makes a U-turn in front of me. And instead of just stopping on the side of the road, letting me go by, he comes back into my lane.
Yeah.
I had to lock the brakes up on the truck, and that's a 9,000-pound vehicle. And, I mean, it was all I could do not to hit him, and I followed him. I haven't, you know, I shouldn't have done that, but I did. That's how you get yourself shot. Don't follow people. And I followed him. I said, dude, what are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry, man. I said, dude, you don't realize I got kids in the car, man. I said, you should have pulled over. I mean, don't be driving like that. And, of course, he was an immigrant. He was illegal.
Yeah.
And they don't think about it.
Nobody in their right mind would ever do this in a semi-truck. Nobody that even has two IQ points rubbed together if you've been on the turnpike.
Well, years ago, I remember I read this article, this book, and it was talking about people over in Africa.
Yeah.
Okay? And they were driving. Somebody had let them ride in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
Okay? And now, mind you, I'm not picking on people from Africa. This is just people from any place that's not familiar with trucks. And they got to the place. They got trucks running 40 miles an hour on a dirt road. Well, the guys had never stepped off of a truck before while it was moving. Well, they got to their exit. They just stepped off the truck at 40 miles an hour. See these bodies tumbling down the road.
God.
Because they had no idea what was going to happen as far as gravity and centrifugal force. No, because they'd never been in a vehicle before.
Okay.
And so they didn't understand they were doing 40 miles an hour. They just thought they could step off and be fine. The crazy part about it is this guy is probably so stupid, okay,
yeah,
that he doesn't realize that minivan can't stop
at 80 miles an hour.
Okay, there's a certain. I'd be in the RV. I'd blow my mind, and I'd have these people pull out in front of this thing. You know, it's a big old Class A, and they'd pull out in front of it, and I'd lock the tires up, and all of a sudden I got mattresses flying, dishes flying, kids flying.
It's weight.
It's weight.
Physics.
You can't just because remember the mattress. If you're doing 70 miles an hour in a truck. You know, in a motorhome, the mattress is doing 70 miles an hour.
And let's be real, too. The minivans, they don't equip minivans, you know, with 8-piston ceramic brakes.
No.
Carbon ceramics. I mean, these are very big brakes on these vehicles. You do it 80 miles an hour because suddenly the semi-truck just is like, so he was in the right lane. So he came over.
See, he was in the far right lane.
So
he makes a big U-turn.
Swing on everybody.
It looks like it was four lanes.
Yeah, the minivan got caught up in here. And went right underneath him. And then apparently, I think another vehicle, they wrecked.
The minivan could have been real close to him. He could just cut him
off. That's right.
Yeah.
He could do anything. So, yeah, this.
The thing that bothers me is now he's going to be basically.
Well, yeah, it says faces the portion vehicular homicide charge. Well, which one is it?
They need to put him in prison. They don't need to send him back to where he came from.
Yeah.
I mean, he just killed three people. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And again, I'm saying this. He gets a CDL in California. He probably doesn't understand the simple laws of physics and how cars have to stop.
I don't even know how he passed the CDL, bro. I mean, that's basic 101 truck driving.
Sure you do.
Don't do that.
DEI.
That's true.
He's in California.
Yeah. I forgot. Enough said. California.
Yeah, he walks in and goes, and doesn't speak English. Pass. Stamp.
Yeah. Oh, you're an immigrant?
Yeah, no.
Automatically approved.
Yeah, who knows? He may have been a tranny, you know, DEI. I mean, you don't
CDLs
know what
it is. For everybody. It's the Oprah state of CDLs. You get a CDL. Everybody gets a CDL.
My deepest condolences to the families of the people that died on the
Yes, floor. I'm not making fun of that.
I was yesterday. I pulled over to talk to more police yesterday about our super speeder law here in Florida.
Anybody figured it out yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I figured it out yesterday. I finally talked to two more cops.
How are they going to enforce this?
Okay, here's what they said. They said that Florida is the fifth most dangerous county in the state of Florida as far as fatalities. Out of like the 50 or 60 counties in the state of Florida, we're number five as far as fatality. Polk County.
Okay.
Okay. And I looked at him. I said, well, the reason that happens is we have Highway 60. We have Interstate 4 cutting across the entire county. Yeah. And we have Highway 27.
Yeah.
Three of the main thoroughfares in the entire state crisscross our county.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's true. I said, that's why these people are dying.
Ocala County's got 975 that runs through an edge of it, and then the rest of it's all rural area with no roads to it.
He was real nice, and he goes, I work these scenes with these accidents, and this speeding is almost always involved in the accidents. He goes, we're trying to cut down the super speeders. And I said, okay, then here's what you do. Make it flat. 50 miles an hour over, you go to jail. Okay?
Yeah.
Unless you're on the interstate, 100 miles an hour, you go to jail. That's it. He goes, well, you're right. That'd be easier.
Well, yeah, there's all these weird variables. And then on top of that, though, there's still nothing to address the morons that sit in the left lane at 60 miles an hour that are one of the main reasons why a lot of these accidents happen.
Well, and I told him, I said, here's the problem with these legislators in Tallahassee, these pencil neck bean counters. I said, they have their own limousine drivers. And he goes, you're right, they do.
Yeah.
I said, no, they don't have to drive. This doesn't affect them at all. If their limousine's speeding down the highway, Austin, they're basically a government vehicle. Nobody messes with them.
No, they're a legislator. Nobody's going to pull them over.
That's not in a limo.
Now, one last article I'm going to cover here. I'm going to dig into it a little bit more. It's crazy to me they're actually finally addressing this again. CDC is going to start reviewing the hepatitis B shot for vaccines now and basically do more research and safety if this is actually a necessity at birth. Now, I can tell you right now, the research and the data that I've seen, there's absolutely zero reason why a healthy mom giving birth to a child, the child needs to have a hep B shot. Zero, 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 zero reason whatsoever.
Even if he doesn't have a healthy mom, it doesn't matter. He can't produce antibodies.
No. And it doesn't make any sense at all. Because most of the time, in almost all cases, the mother's already tested for hepatitis B, period. She doesn't have it. There's zero purpose in giving the baby a hepatitis B shot if the mother isn't hep B positive at all. So why is it still there? They brought the hep B shot into the hospitals to try to get them to the IV drug users. They wouldn't take them because why? People that are hooked on heroin don't really care about getting vaccinated. It's not their main priority. So they said, well, we got to figure out how to move these shots because we've got them now on contracts. We've got money tied up in them. Okay, we're going to mandate it at hospitals give every baby a hepatitis B shot, regardless if the mom's hep B positive at all. Just put it this way, in another context. They come in and say, oh, by the way, we've got a new mandate. Your baby's getting an HIV AIDS shot. Why? Well, we're just assuming the mom has AIDS. But the wife, my wife doesn't. She doesn't have B, she doesn't have AIDS, she doesn't have anything. That doesn't matter. We're just going to assume that she does. So we're giving them an HIV shot right out the gate as soon as they're born. Was that safe? I don't know. It's what's mandated, and we follow mandates because we're blithering morons.
Chevron doctrine,
dude. So, again, be aware of this. I can't tell you how many times now I've talked to parents that are constantly saying that they denied this, they declined this at the hospital now. No. They didn't explain it to you in the hospital, by the way.
Oh, by the way, Florida man catches 87 pythons in a month, and they award him $1,000 through the state incentive program. And some of these snakes are big. I mean, the biggest one they've caught so far is 19 feet long. Now, let me ask you a question, Austin, because you're into these alligator and reptile boots. Can they take these hides and sell them? Is there any money?
Yeah, they can do anything they want with them. I think unless they have to turn them in. I don't remember with the state of Florida with these. The hides, because I know anytime we go gator hunting, I always keep my hide. I've sold it before, and sometimes that stuff made out of it. I have to look on that with the pythons, because I know the...
Because they got pretty good looking skin and make a pretty good boot.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a big one right here.
Additionally, specialized python removal agents pay $50 for each snake they secure with an extra $25 thrown in for every foot on snakes that are longer than 4 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, guess who's the breeding size? Look at the size of this
thing. That's a big one. It's wrapped up. They're very invasive. So don't send me letters about, oh my God, protect the python, protect the python. We're not supposed to have pythons in the Everglades. They're not natural here.
The state has introduced a tracking program using a cartoonish rabbit robot that alert the water management district when it plots a python. In other words,
they're baiting them with electronic rabbits. Yeah. It's actually an interesting
idea. That's a pretty good idea, actually.
Yeah. That way, nobody can get mad. You're killing rabbits. No, we're not killing rabbits. We have electronic rabbits to bait the pythons.
They can come get all the rabbits they want out of my yard.
they're everywhere. We have no shortage of rabbits in Florida.
Oh, by the way, I got to pray for you guys on Saturday night. And I went to church on Saturday night, as I mentioned earlier. And so thank you for your prayers for this weekend. I love you guys so much, and I appreciate you so much, and I am so blessed to be part of your lives. You know, I tell you what, we had people calling us last week and talking to them at the office, and it was great. And you guys are family to us. And I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for supporting Health Masters. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't be here. And so when I don't do the show on Saturday and Sunday, I miss you guys, by the way. I may have Austin start doing shows with me on Saturday and Sunday.
Whoa. We have not addressed that at all with me yet, buddy.
I love you guys. Austin, what's going
on? I need a weekend. You guys have a good, safe time. Check out the bestsellers. Add some stuff up on the new site, the Health Masters 2.0 site. Be sure to sign up for the weekly newsletters so you get your emails every day on the show and your coupon codes and all the different sales going on. Keep me updated on how you like the new updates on the site with Shopify Pay as well. You guys have a fantastic evening. Be strong, be safe. I'll talk to you on the show tomorrow as always.
Love you guys.